The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
WU on September 23rd, 2020. And since it's 2020 and we're in the darkest timeline, I get to host a show finally. It's been a good 5 years on the network, and I've never hosted a show, and this is what this year has brought us. So, yay! I have a special group with me tonight. I have Derek Boxdorfer.
What's up, guys?
And making her podcast debut, she's been in the Peanut Gallery a couple times, Sadie.
Hey.
I don't know if we're allowed to use last names, so we'll just say Sadie. And I'm the Big D, Dalton Anthony. So full disclosure, everybody. Asa makes the show notes, and he does a marvelous job every time. I've always been very open on other podcasts about my involvement on, like, the behind the scenes of Podzilla 1985 of I don't do jack shit. Also, guys, by the way, it's usually PG-13, so light swearing. Well, not light swearing, just don't say the big one. I don't do anything. I show up, and then Asa tells me everything that we're doing, and then I'm like, all right, cool, I have an opinion on that. And then we go. This time, I had to come up with a list, and I wasn't even going to do that. But Derek said, you need to come up with something so we have, like, it's somewhat of a roadmap through the next hour. So, we're going to do the normal PW thing. We're going to kick it off with some very unfortunate news. This morning, it was reported that Road Warrior Animal has passed away. Super unfortunate. Both members of the legendary Road Warriors are now passed, and he passed away at 60. It's his, and I believe either today or yesterday was his wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're allowed to speak up.
Stop.
But it was yesterday. Super unfortunate thing. If Shannon was here, it's going back to the thing of all of his heroes of his childhood are unfortunately dying. And it's super sad. Like, I've met Animal before. He is a super nice dude. I actually have a very funny story about working at a show with Scott Steiner in Illinois last year. And this random family came up to me. And this was in, oh, I don't even remember the town, but it was, like, closer to St. Louis. There was this family that made a comment about Scott Steiner. He was, like, all the way on the other end of the gimmick tables that I was. So, like, he was a good, like, 40, 50 feet away. And he said, yeah, I bet Road Warrior Animal could beat up Scott Steiner. And I was like, oh, I met him once, because this was like 2 or 3 months removed from Super Show 3, where he was in me and Shannon's match. And I was like, oh, yeah, I met him a couple months ago. He was a really nice, like, I met him a couple months ago. And he was like, was he nice? And I was like, he was a really sweet dude. And he was like, okay, good. That was the right answer, because that's family. It was like his grandchildren.
Oh.
Like, the littlest one was like his grandchild. And I was like, it was at that moment that I was like, oh, I didn't say anything bad, because he didn't give me a reason to. But it's one of those where I was like, that is the worst trap that's almost ever been set for me.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily want to be on that bad side there.
Yeah, but no, he was a super sweet guy. If you go, like, the Road Warriors are arguably one of the best tag teams of all time. In the 80s, they're definitely the best tag team.
Yeah, they were definitely one of those tag teams that you don't really see, like, much of that, like, just brute brawling style of tag team wrestling. And I feel like you're starting to see it a little bit more and more with, Butcher and the Blade. I feel like, Akeem and Razor?
Akeem?
Akeem.
Akeem, thank you.
Akeem.
You know, there was those big guys. Yeah.
It's Akeem and Razor, but it's a play on Occam's razor.
But they're not in the WWE anymore.
Yeah, they just got released. Was something we covered last week. Thanks, Derek, for listening.
I mean, I knew they were released. So I'm saying you just don't see that style of, like, those big guys that just go out and just beat the crap out of their opponents anymore. Yeah. You know, it's a lot more flashy now, whereas that Road Warrior style of wrestling was very beat 'em up.
Yeah, they were definitely bigger, and they were definitely bruisers, because that was most of the 80s. But they still have one of the coolest tag team finishers that has like ever happened, the Doomsday Device.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that you've seen like continuously done through generations, that is kind of carried over because it's such an iconic tag team move.
Yeah, and it's one of those that like that is a very, at least to my knowledge, is a super protected move from the 80s, whereas everything else has been like diluted. If you look at like the DDT, the leg drop, the elbow drop, like all of those moves are really cool, like almost like signatures that'll never end a match anymore. But if I saw FTR hit the Doomsday Device, I would be like, if that person kicks out, I'm legitimately going to get shitty. Because that's just a move that you do not kick out of. Yeah, so he died at 60, and it was of natural causes. And I was talking to Hunter about this in one of the group chats, where I was like, yeah, like, natural causes is very believable with these wrestlers that were in the 80s, and that's all they did, like, Monday through Friday, like, Monday through the next Monday was just work shows.
Right.
And if you watch, did you watch the Dark Side of the Ring, this most recent season?
I've seen, like, bits and pieces of it, but I've not, like, genuinely sat down to watch it.
So they did a entire episode based on the Road Warriors.
Okay.
And it was a really good episode. I say really good because season two had so many heavy hitters, mm-hmm. where unless you are a huge Road Warriors fan, it gets lost in the shuffle. But it's really good because you get to hear Animal, and I think Paul Ellering's in it, kind of talk about what they were and how they got their gimmick and Mad Max and stuff like that. And it really is a testament to how tough these guys were. If you go back and listen to whenever Animal was actually on Podzilla 1985, like, he talked about, like, oh yeah, it was like sometimes you would just get injured and then you would work the next night. And then he was even very quick to say, probably not the smartest thing that we've ever done. But like, yeah, and it was one of those things, like, nobody has a bad story to tell about him, because he was super active on the independent scene, like doing appearances and stuff like that. And I know my entire Facebook feed like today was filled with workers that took pictures with him, talking about how sweet of a guy he was. And I have the exact same experience. He was super nice to me. One more Animal story, and then we'll get into some recaps. But I was at Super Show 3. It was Friday night. Well, I was at the Comic-Con, because it's tied to Cape Comic-Con that Ken Murphy puts on. And I was walking around with Marco Stunt, because he just got in to Cape. So he was like, hey, let's walk around. And I was looking for action figures. So we walk by Animal, and we were like, we weren't trying to talk to Animal, but we were close enough, because like social distancing wasn't a thing back then. And sure. Animal looks away, looks at Marco and says, hey Marco, what's up? And then we just keep walking. And it was at that moment I realized Marco was famous, because this was before AEW. And I was like, holy shit, Road Warrior Animal knows who you are. And he just smiled at me. Because like, it's that level of famous of just like, oh, that Hall of Famer knows who you are and knew your name and like could pick you out of a crowd. And super cool. And then the person that like he helped or he saved that night, the next night, was like standing next to him. And it was like, ah, it was really just a really fun moment. And everybody, like, it's been super sad to see the amount of people that are, well, not sad, but it's cool to see the amount of people that had pictures with him and just talked about how good of a guy he was. And in wrestling, I feel like we need more of that.
Oh yeah.
So
for sure. I mean, in the world, technically, I mean, you really need a lot more of that positivity and realizing, like, giving people that are good people the kudos that they deserve, instead of, you know, you can sit and highlight the negativity a person brings to the world all day, but it's nice to see, you know, hey, here's how good this person was and how they affected my life in a positive way.
Yeah.
True.
So, none of them are listening, but we send all of the best wishes to, and like, condolences to Animal's family. It was really cool. His son got drafted to the St. Louis Rams like 10 years ago. So if you see the picture of the football player in his like the Road Warrior gear and then Animal in the Rams jersey, that was his son. And
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. I think it was like 10 years ago. I would have to. Cody's yelling at me right now. But yeah, no. Super involved in like Missouri athletics in general. Like he was just a cool person altogether, and it's just really sad. Like I read it this morning at like 6, and just it kind of just made my entire day sad. Because I was like, oh man, like we lost a good one again.
Oh yeah, and 60 is still like super young for just natural causes in general, you know.
Yeah. And that's what I was telling Hunter. I was like, I mean, 60 natural causes sounds really fishy, but when you've done the amount of, like, your body has had the mileage on it that right. somebody like Annabelle, because that's like, that was one of the things that Tony Flood told me, was like, it's not your age, it's the amount of miles you put on the car. And I'm like, wow, that's the most poetic thing I thought I'd ever hear from him. But yeah, but again, like, man, just sucks. That's the only way I can say it. It's a lot easier to be eloquent whenever I have Asa and Shannon here, but whenever it's me, it's just like, man, it just fucking sucks. Like, it's the worst.
Oh yeah.
So you want to move on to the next story?
Yeah, we can go on to that.
All right, cool. So I did something that I have not done in quite a hot minute. I paid attention to Monday Night Raw.
Oh.
And yes. Man, I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, you know, that's something I was just telling one of my friends the other day here in town, is that we were talking about wrestling. It's like, honestly, I haven't really watched a Raw or SmackDown or anything really since probably May, maybe, you know, right around that. Well, maybe SummerSlam might have been the last one. I don't know. But like, most of the things I watch now are just like the pay-per-views, because the weekly shows are just, I don't know, like, they're good, but and you know, I know not having any fans in the crowd is one thing, because that definitely makes wrestling. And I know you guys talked before how there's been so many big moments during the COVID era of wrestling that would have been like remarkably better had there been a crowd around to witness it and to react to it and have that moment. But I don't know, it's just hard to watch anymore. Like, it just is, you know, it's hard to watch.
I feel you. I don't think I've watched anything besides a pay-per-view with Dalton since, gosh, I don't know.
I mean, that might have been pre-COVID. There might have been a couple that we watched together that was like right on the brink of before they shut everything down. But yeah, to sit down and watch a 3-hour wrestling show every week, and which is unfortunate because they have some really cool things going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
But
Becky's there, so I'm not amused. Not Becky's not there, so I'm not amused.
Yeah.
And Retribution is there.
So. Oh, we're going to get there, baby. We don't need to rush that. I want to talk about the things I love before I talk about the things I hate.
Okay.
So there's been a couple of things that I do want to point out on Monday Night Raw that I absolutely love, and it's a shame that it's not in front of a live crowd. The Hurt Business is hands down one of the coolest stables I have seen in quite a minute. I think that they are cooler than the Inner Circle. I think that I don't think there is a better group of people right now than the Hurt Business.
So much talent.
Because it is literally the most talented group of individuals in wrestling. You have MVP, that is one of the more believable promos that you can get right now. You have Lashley, who, like, I don't really need to hear him talk because it doesn't match up. But, right. like, is just a physical specimen in every sense of the word.
And at least there's no Lana anymore.
And there's no Lana. Which, man, I really did. The Bobby Lashley having makeup and transferring over to Lana is hands down the funniest thing that's ever happened on TV.
I agree.
But, like, you have an amazing powerhouse. And then you have Shelton Benjamin, who is one of the most underrated, criminally underrated athletes in, like, wrestling history. And then Cedric Alexander, who the fact that he has not gotten a bigger spotlight in WWE is just heartbreaking, because the dude can wrestle anybody and it would be a good match.
Oh yeah.
And I love that. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say Cedric Alexander. You know, that's kind of one of those things, like, the Hurt Business was good with just MVP, Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin. But like, when they were able to add Cedric Alexander to it, that just added that extra layer of, okay, you know, this is something to watch, because you have mostly four different fighting styles, wrestling styles, different backgrounds. And like you said, Cedric Alexander is, you know, he should have a spotlight on him. He had that run with the Cruiserweight title, but, you know, what is that technically, you know, because where is that at now, you know? So I don't know. Cedric Alexander I'm glad they paired him with the Hurt Business, because there's a lot that can be done with that if they do it the right way.
Yeah, and it's the whole thing of, it goes back to what you said of the styles of athletes they have. That's why before the shutdown, the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins and his group of disciples were like one of my favorite things, because you had you had the Authors of Pain, who are just bodyguards basically, and are really like very good wrestlers. You could have them as a tag team. You could also have Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy as a tag team, which that's a team that if they really put some like legs under would be amazing.
Oh yeah.
And then also you can just have Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy do singles matches, which just as good. But then one of the authors got hurt. They released him. Now you have we'll just jump into it. I guess they decided, let's do a storyline from 15 years ago that was goofy, but kind of make it different. But not really, but a little bit.
Now it's two kids instead of one.
Yeah, now the daughter is Eddie Guerrero's, apparently. They didn't say that, but that's my headcanon. Of like, Eddie was right the whole time. He just said it was the wrong kid. That's how long he had an affair with Rey Mysterio's wife. He didn't know which one it was.
And that's the thing. You know, they kind of, I think they mentioned it on Raw, that they did the whole, well, we've been through this before, you know, and it, you know, nothing was proven, blah, blah, blah. But they go on to say, oh, technology's changed, so let's see what today's technology says now. And it's like, I don't know. It's just, they had a good thing going for them, and I feel like they're just completely just off-roading now and just throwing something at the wall, hoping it sticks.
And they're,
But it's just not good.
It very much goes back to CM Punk versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania, whenever like CM Punk used the ashes of Paul Bearer to piss off The Undertaker. It's a Undertaker versus CM Punk match. You really don't have to write it. You can just let them promo against each other, make a loose storyline out of it, and let them wrestle. Like, in all fairness, Ray hasn't done a match over it in a while. It's been all Dominic. And Dominic has, from what I've seen, has been really good.
Was it 24 they did? The episode of 24 was one of those where Vince, you know, you got to see Vince's reaction to Dominic's match, and it kind of had that moment of, hey, you know, good job, kid. You know, you don't get a lot of wrestlers that go out and do as good as you did on their first match. So, you know, like, that's definitely saying something. Whether or not that means anything down the road, who knows? But, you know,
I'm sure he'll get a lot of mileage out of that last name.
Oh, for sure.
Because, I mean, Rey Mysterio has gotten a lot of mileage out of the name that he built over the course of a 30-year career.
And that's the thing, as you think about it, if they go that route of the rumored Prince Mysterio, you know, thing in the future, you know, that's another, you know, depending how they take that, that's definitely something that could be a character that you see, you know, resonate with kids, you know, kind of that superhero-esque character that you could look up to as a kid, like Rey Mysterio was.
Yeah.
And also, since he's not in a mask, he can do Prince Mysterio, and then that's a good 2.5-year babyface run, followed by a 3-year really good heel run. Because you know what not a lot of people would like? A really arrogant guy who goes by Prince.
That's fair.
Yeah, because like, that's MJF. I mean, he doesn't go by Prince, but he's better than you, and he knows it.
Right.
But yeah, no, so like, it goes back to the whole thing of, you have all these really good pieces of a good storyline that you don't have to do a lot of goofy storytelling with. And they're like, ah, I got DNA results saying that that's not your kid. Well, I mean, the daughter. And then Rey Mysterio being like, oh, she's a naive 19-year-old girl.
She doesn't know about this business.
Doesn't know about this business.
And then the awkward, like, Rollins promo afterwards where he's like, I didn't mean to stir up family drama. We all have family drama. Even your family, as he stares into the camera, has family drama. I was like, oh my god, I feel so weird and violated.
Yeah, it goes back to Sean O'Hare, which is, I don't know, like, that's a really deep cut. Ooh. But he was doing the Devil's Advocate gimmick for a while on SmackDown back in like 2001. And he cut a lot of promos like that. Not like, he was a lot more smiley about it, being like, go ahead, take that drink. It's just a pill. It's no big deal. It's like that, but he's just like, yeah. I mean, I guess we all kind of have families like that. And then looks at the camera And I'm like, well, I feel like I need a shower.
He's like, this is believable, right?
Yeah,
right?
This is relatable. And then me and Sadie just look at each other being like, I mean, we wouldn't be shocked if it popped up in our families.
Not mine. Don't say that.
All right, mine. My family, mainly. But not Debbie.
She's a saint.
So, yeah, they have this goofy thing. And, like, I guess if it goes somewhere, cool. Like, if they make it a good story. But I feel like we're going to have a Leon a pole match, or we're going to have some kind of esque stipulation of, is she going to side with Buddy Murphy because she, like, made sure he wasn't dead that one cage match? Or is she going to help her family out? Murder the Messiah. Like,
I mean, if Buddy Murphy was in pain in front of you, wouldn't you want to make sure he's okay? I mean, look at him.
I would have used my hands more. but like, yeah, no, and it's one of those, like, it's the whole thing. If you have so many good moving pieces that we really don't need to have this goofy storyline, but yet here we are. Thanks, 2020.
And I thought that, like, versus I match or whatever was weird, and you know, like afterwards, like Seth just like vomiting, and I was like, oh god, like I thought that was weird, but I guess they're gonna take this turn with it.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, I will give everybody credit minus the 19-year-old girl. Everybody's doing a really good job playing this off, like, correctly. Like, nobody's being super hokey with it. Like, there looks like there's legitimate angst within, like, the acting of it, but, like, the girl has never done anything like this before.
She's not doing bad,
but it's
doing,
like,
better than I would.
Well, yeah,
I'd be laughing all the time.
And it's one of those where it's like, okay, she's doing her best, but it's, you didn't need this. This is adding a layer of unnecessary, like, filler, and maybe it's gonna be cool, I don't know. But
maybe it'll end with, like, a live sex celebration.
God, shut up.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Well, they already dredged up another thing from 2005, so let's just bump 2 years later. But, yeah, no, like, that's the whole thing of just, like, whenever you made that comment, I legitimately thought, because I hadn't looked up at Raw yet, I thought you wanted to do a review of the 2005 SummerSlam story.
Well, he didn't really read it. I guess I just read it to him, and I guess he missed the Rollins part.
Yeah, I was like,
no, I was like,
wait,
no.
Well, no, because in no good universe would they just dredge up Rey Mysterio maybe not having one of his own kids again.
Sure they would. There's nothing else going on.
And they did it with the goat the last time, so yeah, it's fine. Eddie Guerrero can make anything work. And, okay, like, Rollins is of that caliber. I would put him and Guerrero, like, No, they're the same caliber. I'm going to say Seth Rollins will be a Hall of Famer easily one day.
Oh, for sure.
Probably the day after he retires.
Yeah, like, I will put him up in the caliber with Eddie Guerrero, like, work-wise and just what he's able to do on the microphone. Because has he had some stinkers? Yes. But I can believe him 90% of the time in any of his stories. Which, I guess, in the sports entertainment realm is one of the more important parts. It also helps that he's just really good, like, in the ring.
And he can play, like, any position that he needs to. Like, he can be a baby, he can be heel, he could be neutral. Like, he can do it all. And he can work like crazy.
Yeah, and that's something that WWE needs a lot. So I guess if they're going to give this storyline to somebody, Rey Mysterio with Dominic and Rollins is probably the best choice. Because do you remember the last, like, Bastard Child story they did and how much that didn't work?
Yeah. But yeah. Hey, it could just be one of those things that we just had to wait, see how it plays out. But
yeah, hopefully it's good. Like, I don't want this to suck.
I just see her, like, turning on the family for Buddy Murphy. That's what I see happening.
But
yeah,
I would blame her.
Yeah, it'll be a good fair. It'll be a good, like, this could be a good 8-month story that leads us into Mania. Hopefully in front of a crowd, maybe, if God willing, wear a mask.
Fingers crossed.
But this would be a good, like, you could run this that long. Oh, yeah. And I would be like, I will happily watch Buddy Murphy versus, like, Dominic or something like that. Or Dominic versus Rollins or whatever they want to do. Or a tag match. Like, they could run this story. Everybody in this story is good. It's just, I'm not a big fan of the whole running back, the whole illegitimate kid thing. Yeah. Especially in the era of fandom that we're in, that we're like, no, you, Jason Jordan is not Kurt Angle's son. Like, I have Wikipedia.
But 23andMe, man, you can find out anything.
Yeah. I had a crazy night in college, and now I have a son that is an amazing wrestler. That was the big takeaway from Raw that I was like, man, that was weird.
What about Zelina Vega beating Mickie James for the contendership for the women's champion?
Yeah, somebody that's wrestled maybe 3 times their entire WWE career.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad, though, that she's gotten a few matches because, I mean, she's a good wrestler. So
it's nice too
to see her away from that managerial role back into the ring and actually doing some stuff. And then, of course, having this match then at Clash of Champions when we go to preview that. But
yeah. Zelina Vega's real. Like, I remember her on the indie scene. She was real. Like, I didn't watch her live, Shannon. But, like, I remember watching her matches and I was like, man, she's really good. Cause she would do After Buzz TV, which like was a podcast that would review like wrestling shows.
Oh boy. I forgot about that. That's a memory that I had to go down deep for. Wow. I forgot.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, X-Pac did After Buzz TV. Why do you think I know it so well?
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. But like Thea Trinidad was on After Buzz all the time and I'm like, oh, she's a wrestler. Let me see what she, and I was like, oh, she's really good. And then she gets signed to WWE and I'm like, oh, I want to watch her wrestle. And they put her with Andrade as a manager, and I got really sad. But then I realized she's really good at talking and, like, telling a story, just being a manager, like, on the sideline. And she only needed that one move, that, like, one, on one knee, Hurricane Rana DDT move, which is all she needed. She was putting away guys with that for Andrade, and it was like, man, she can be a manager for the rest of her career, and I wouldn't be upset. But I'm happy that they're letting her go out and wrestle now. And Asuka can wrestle a broom.
Yeah.
So I know that that'll be good.
Let's see. I guess a couple other things to note for Raw before we get into the whole retribution thing. what was it here? I'm trying to look through this Raw review that I found.
It's going to be Orton versus
McIntyre.
Yeah, because Orton beat Keith Lee, yeah?
Yeah.
For that match.
Yeah, I think so.
Which, like, man... And I love Orton. Again, the best things coming out of COVID era is, like, Orton and the Hurt Business. And Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak's, like, team up. Those are my 3 favorite things coming out of COVID era. Orton is more maniacal than ever, and I love it. You still there?
I'm here, yeah. I'm listening.
Derek?
Can you hear me?
Good. Okay, yeah. No, we had weird audio pop up on ours. But yeah, no, like, Orton's been amazing, so, like, I know McIntyre and Orton will be good, but I really wish they would have given it to Keith Lee, because since you don't have the crowd, you can do a face-versus-face match and not have, like, the crowd just kind of sit on their hands during it.
Right. So, speaking of Retribution and the Hurt Business, I think there was a moment here on Raw where Retribution... Do they come out and try to do something? And the Hurt Business, they had that square off there, which is probably the most believable, I guess, group that, if you want to take out Retribution, you got, you know, the Hurt Business coming out, putting the Hurt Business on Retribution.
Yeah.
But, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot more to talk about for Raw that I can see. You had Braun Strowman versus,
Baba Kato.
Yep, and hyping that up for Underground, you know, good old Raw Underground in the third hour.
Oh, WWE Raw. Sorry, there was one more thing. How are you going to let Riddick Moss knock out one of the Viking Raiders? That's
another tag team that has been just absolutely forgotten about.
Well, I mean, one of them's injured right now, unfortunately. Well, but, like, Ivar has, like, a neck injury. But, yeah, no, like, you have this guy all tatted up that just looks like he could just rip somebody's arm off and snack on it. And they're like, we'll let Riddick Moss punch him out. That's fine.
Why not?
And they built up Dabba Kato since Raw Underground has started, and they're like, let's feed him to Braun.
Did he win one of the greatest Royal Rumble matches?
I don't think he was in a few of them. Or he was in a couple of those Royal Rumbles. Yeah,
I remember seeing, like, who is this guy? But
yeah, because he wasn't...
He was that big man.
He was Babatunde, right?
Yeah, he wasn't Dabba Kato, Derek. He was the great Babatunde.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, can we like talk about how weird Braun Strowman looks in so much clothes?
Which was weird.
See Braun Strowman in so much clothes.
Oh my gosh, he looks so... It just doesn't look right.
She's upset that he was wearing sleeves.
Okay.
Because he was wearing the same amount of clothes that he's always worn. He was just wearing a tight t-shirt.
It looked like so much more clothes. Yeah, it was a tight t-shirt. You could still probably, like... You could see every, like, ripple in his, like, body. Like, you could see every ab, every, like, boat.
So he still looked like a monster,
but it was still... It was just so weird, because it was just like... I just feel like he's wearing too much clothes.
I liken it to anytime I see Roger Mathis wear a t-shirt... And I'm like, you're not allowed to have a shirt with any sleeve on it. Because, like, I've only seen...
Your arm will hardly fit through a sleeve, probably.
Yeah, no, and I told him, like, I can't see you in a t-shirt. Like, it happens every once in a while. It's always weird to me. It'll never not be weird to me. But, yeah, no, it's the same thing with Braun Strowman. I don't know. It annoys me that they've built up Dabakato to be this big deal... Just to be like, all right, cool, we're going to put you against Braun Strowman. And I'm like, oh, they're going to give Dabakato something, knockout.
Speaking and it goes. Braun Strowman, and this is something we might be able to cover at the end. I just want to touch on something with Alexa Bliss. So do you want to do that now? You want to wait and circle back to it?
Are you talking about her being possessed by the Fiend?
Yes.
All right, go ahead, because I think you know more about this than I do. So explain it to me.
So I think it was this past SmackDown that was, I don't remember if it was a match or if it was just a segment. I can't exactly remember what it was off the top of my head now.
She was talking to Nikki Cross, right?
Yeah, but she was talking to Nikki Cross, yeah. And as each week of SmackDown progresses, her hair exceptionally gets more and more like braided and more fiend-like. But she ends up getting Nikki Cross in a Sister Abigail and hitting her with a Sister Abigail. So I thought, well, that's kind of neat what they're doing with Alexa Bliss now, because, you know, the Fiend is it's talked about before on your show, on anything you see in a wrestling medium, that the Fiend is kind of this supernatural standalone character that you could easily either hit a wall with or hit a home run with. But I kind of like the way they went this route with Alexa Bliss kind of being possessed by the Fiend, in a sense of, I don't know, the Fiend's taking over her body. If it's more of maybe she adores the Fiend, you know, I don't know. But I really like the way they're going with this route.
Well, was it like, I don't know, like Lacey said something about the Fiend and then like Alexa just like snapped or something. From what I read I don't know, but it's just like. It's cool. Like,
yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it works for her. Like, her, I feel like her or Nikki Cross could really pull that off. So
yeah, and that's the thing, is you would expect Nikki Cross to do it because she's had that crazy psycho gimmick yeah. before. But it's nice to see kind of, I guess, the unsuspected person to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I need to see more of it, I guess. Because that was I think, like, Adam Blampier from a former What Culture, like, did an entire, if he was booking Bray Wyatt, and he even said, I would make Alexa Bliss be Sister Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago. And it's one of those where it's like, I think watching that and seeing that and be like, oh, that would be interesting. And then them actually doing it, I'm like, oh, well, okay, cool. Let me see what happens. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then on SmackDown, they're repackaging a female, and they've been showing like vignettes of kind of like the Emelina thing almost.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, I'm pretty sure I know who it is. I mean, I'm sure everybody does at this point. Anybody who has the internet and can look it up. But yeah. Am I allowed to say it?
Yeah, say it.
Okay, yeah. It's your girl, Carmella, dude.
I know. I'm pretty excited. So I'm curious to see what route they go. Like, I kind of suspected it was Carmella just from kind of the first couple of them, because one, she hasn't been on in a while. Two, it's very, like, similar, her and the other lady. But the internet did their research, I guess, and they are real good at this. They zoomed in on a section of this vignette.
Of her tattoo.
And yep. It's like, oh, here's Carmella's tattoo, and here's this lady's tattoo. It's like,
I was really hoping it was
a good eye, because I would have never seen that.
I was really hoping it was going to be like a freckle or something and be like, people are weird.
No, she has like a bird tattoo like on her like bicep or like on her forearm or something.
Well, I was today years old when I knew that she had a tattoo because I didn't even know she had one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It reminds me of that Emelina thing, but I actually hope something actually happens with this.
Also, yeah, because I also completely browned out Emelina.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forgot that was an entire thing.
Yeah, I
that. And now I'm mad about it again. So, we're at 34 minutes, we have a pay-per-view review, and I really want to talk about this parking lot brawl, but I need to talk about how much I hate Retribution. Okay.
Please.
So, we have, how many? We have Mercedes Martinez, I'm going to use their names.
Mia Yim.
Mercedes Martinez, Mia Yim.
Dio Madden.
Dio Madden, and Donovan Dijakovic. I can't tell you who the other dude is yet.
They think it's, I'm drawing a blank, TM61 guy.
Shane Thorne?
Yes, that's what the internet, internet thinks.
It does not look like Shane Thorne to me.
That's, yeah, I thought Shane Thorne was taller, but when
and
you're...
And ripped, more ripped, for
well,
sure.
Well, he was wearing all clothes.
Yeah, but he's wearing, like, tight clothes. You could kind of, I mean, I feel like that's not his body at all.
Fair enough. But I was like, I know he's taller, but also Dijak's, like, 6'11", and so is Madden. But anyway... I'm going to use those names. So we know four of them at least. Mercedes Martinez and Mia Yim, which whenever you're in a Becky Lynch-less women's division and you're going to call those two up, but you're going to have them dress like Hannibal Lecter, but not really.
Oh, yeah, with the mask, with the bar. Yeah, I don't...
The guys looked way cooler than the girls.
Yeah, they didn't try with those two. We don't know their names yet, and I'm only saying that to... just put a pin in it. We don't know their names, but I know it's Mia Yim and Mercedes Martinez because they didn't do a good job covering those. Dijak has a shaved head and they put face paint on him.
And red contacts.
And then Dio Madden's pretty covered, but he's pretty noticeable no matter what. And then the other guy we don't know.
So hidden. We have no idea.
So hidden. I will say that's the best one because I can't tell you who it is.
I hope when he does, like, when we do figure out who he is, like, it's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
What? His name, Dalton, is Slapjack. That's the third
guy. You son of a... You got past me.
I mean, we gotta talk about it. Slapjack, T-Bar, and Mace.
Which one's T-Bar?
We don't know.
The way they talk, I think Dijakovic is T-Bar, Dio Madden is Mace.
That is but, not like, fit at all.
Did they just pull this up from a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle strip somewhere and say, hey, you know what? These work. Let's do this.
They look like what Rocksteady would use as Bane minions in a new Arkham game.
Oh, God. It's so bad. But
next time you see it, you won't unthink it. So they cut this promo. Mia Yim is just using her normal voice, which is fine. I love Mia Yim. And, like, I don't want to, like, they shouldn't change her voice
but
as well.
But I love Mia Yim.
Yeah, but, like, it should just be Mia Yim. And then they have Dijak do this goofy character of, like, he's Bane from Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, the real dark, raspy, deep voice.
And, like, yeah, no, it's just Bane from Dark Knight Rises, and I'm not saying that just because it's the mask. Like, it was barring him talking like, I was formed by the pain. Like, that would be the only thing that would be closer to Bane in Dark Knight Rises. And, like, I don't... This doesn't help anybody.
Did Spirit Halloween open over there in Orlando?
Like drag queen Sharon Needles, they need to take their ass back to Party City where they belong.
Ooh. I don't know if you saw the tweet from, I think it was CM Punk. It was in the last like day or so. I think he tweeted something along the lines of like, when you get bored and catering has extra paper plates, and it's got a picture of the guy with the hockey mask on in the back that we don't know.
Yeah.
And I think he tweeted back to CM Punk as a reply, like, basically, Retribution is great, and we're going to do a lot of great things. We'll be better than in leadership than you ever were with New Nexus. And if you want to come and find out, you're more than welcome to, basically.
Who said that?
A summary. The guy with the paper plate, face, whoever.
Faceless Magoo.
His name. So, it's like, but yeah, it's bad. Like, Retribution... when it very first started, it was very corny, but I also like kind of like, okay, I always like new groups that come in and just tear stuff up. You know, But then it just kept going on and on and on, and then got very corny very quick.
You mean you didn't like when they threw a brick through a window and then threw another brick through the broken window? Like, that was going to do anything?
But, yeah, it's just, like, it was that chaos that was like, okay, this could be something. And then, you know, and that's, again, I'm giving it crap now, but it's like, it could be something that as it goes on, it gets better, I hope. But when you're at the bottom, you know, up is the only direction you can go. So we'll see.
And yeah, no, and it's just one of those things. They have these amazing people that they're just not doing anything with, or like they're doing this with. I guess my big issue is you have Donovan Dijak, which that dude has just gotten completely ripped off in the course of names. Whenever I saw him face Mara Fuji in St. Louis, like back in 2016, and maybe 2017, I don't know, but I got to see him in like a high profile match at Glory Pro, and it was amazing. And he was Donovan Dijak, and that was my first experience with this guy, and I was in love. And then he comes to WWE, and I got super excited. And they didn't really do anything with him. His name was Dijak, which I was like, cool, that's a really cool name. And then they turned it to Dijakovic, which is harder to say. And now he's T-Bar. There's not a T in Dijak or Dijakovic or Donovan.
It's at the beginning.
No, that's not how that language works, I'm sure. But yeah, no, it's one of those things where I'm annoyed with it. I'm trying to get Maisie to speak into the microphone right now, and if you hear it, we're good. She's saying hi, Derek.
Hello. But, this is going to be a Parker versus Maisie feud of which animal talks into the microphone best.
There we go. We got it. There it was. All right. There it is, Parker. We're going to start a feud. But yeah, no. I didn't like it to begin with. I don't think anything they could have done would have made me like it, but the answers that they have given me have not inspired confidence. But yeah, so the cool things on Raw, and then Retribution. We have a match card for Clash of Champions.
I got it in front of me. If you want me to go through them,
yeah, go through them. There's a couple of matches that I don't think Sadie knows about that are kind of interesting.
I know. I actually was on the same website earlier today.
Okay, good. Derek, go ahead. I'm going to let you talk. I feel like I've done a lot of talking.
Okay, sure. So, looks like for the kickoff show, we have Asuka versus Lena Vega for the Raw Women's Championship. More than likely, Asuka's going to retain. But, like I said, I'm still glad Zelina Vega's being able to get into the ring, wrestle.
Kind of hyped and, to see the match.
You know, just to get in there and make herself known as a wrestler. After that, showing a United States Championship match, Bobby Lashley versus Apollo Crews. Probably we'll see retribution out of this, I guess, since the Hurt Business, you know, did the beat 'em up on him. Maybe not, hopefully not. I can go the whole night without watching retribution, but Bobby Lashley, Apollo Crews. After that, we've got the Women's Tag Team Championship match, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus the Riot Squad. Riot Squad, I think on Raw Talk a couple weeks ago, when they got back together, basically like, hey, you know, we were a tag team, went our own separate ways, we've regrouped, we're ready to go, we're going to, you know, hit it head on. But, you know, you have Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I mean, those are two pretty talented competitors, pretty tough competitors.
But do they have the chemistry that Ruby and Liv do, you know?
Yeah, they got the power, that's for sure. SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro versus Lucha House Party. I don't know which members of Lucha House Party it is, but for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, you know, this is kind of these things like, I like all four guys involved, so whatever happens, I'll enjoy it probably.
The only good time to watch WWE Tag Team Wrestling is on the pay-per-view, so... It'll be fun, at least.
More tag team wrestling. Got the Raw Tag Team Championship match. The Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza. So that Angel Garza and Andrade, they won the number one contender match on Raw. I think it was Rollins and Murphy, Andrade and Angel Garza, and I think Dominic and Rey.
It was Humberto.
Humberto, yeah, that's right. So... I, again, one of these things, I like both teams involved. I really like the Street Profits. You know, that's one of these things. Again, Street Profits is one of those tag teams that would be, you know, a crowd definitely helps out for their characters and for what they're going for. You know, so hopefully we'll see somewhat of a crowd, which, you know, you've got the Thunderdome, but it is what it is. SmackDown Women's Championship match, Bayley versus Nikki Cross. We're probably almost expecting Alexa Bliss to get involved in one way or another, or Sasha Banks to get involved in one way or another.
I'd say both. I'd say both.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be both.
We'll see what happens there. I definitely think Bayley is going to retain. You know, that way they can do the Bayley versus Sasha match somewhere down the line. This one I like and I'm pretty excited for, and it's Jeff Hardy versus AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn in a triple threat winner-take-all ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. I don't know if you guys remember, but was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Sami Zayn came back to SmackDown, and he had the Intercontinental title that he never lost, technically. So they did the classic, you know, who's the real champion? Another little fun story about this is Sami Zayn had a tweet where basically like at like 18, 19, if you would have ever told him that he would be in a triple threat ladder match with AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy, like he would never believe you. So he's pretty excited for that match to go down. Next one, Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton in a WWE Championship ambulance match. Ambulance matches, we know how they go. They're about as good as they're gonna get, but you got Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, pretty good competitors, don't really have a bad match usually, so I think that'll be a good one. And the last one I'm probably most looking forward to outside of the triple threat ladder match is Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso for the Universal Championship.
This is the one that intrigues me the most. This will be the one that I actually want to go out of my way and watch.
Because you have that family dynamic. You have Roman Reigns coming back, aligning himself with Paul Heyman in that heel mode, and Jey Uso, who would ever thought he'd had a WWE Championship match. Definitely
a singles match, really.
And both guys super talented, so I'm pretty excited. I feel like anytime you get family members involved, Matt, Jeff, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank.
Matt and Jeff. Bubba and Devon. Yeah, Edge and Christian. We're forgetting Undertaker and Kane. Do you get what I'm doing?
Yes, I get what you're doing. But anyway, okay. once you get family members involved, I feel like they have a chemistry that is different than a typical one versus one competitor. So
the Bellas, don't forget the Bellas.
Oh, yeah, no, that doesn't count. I will count the actual siblings before I count that horrible SummerSlam match. God, that was... I put that in the Emelina file. I forgot that was a thing, too.
But, it, you know, all around, good card. Again, a couple of these matches would be great with a crowd. You know, especially that ladder match. Definitely would be one that a crowd would benefit for.
Dude, but I feel so bad that they're putting these dudes in ladder matches.
Oh, I know. Going through tables and ladders and... all for no people in front of them.
In the safety of the performance center? Hello.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a place where all the trainers are already there, like, yeah, no, I feel so bad for them because it's like, all right, you're in front of all these TV screens, and you'll see somebody widen their eyes and maybe go, oh, like 3 seconds too late.
And then cue the fake crowd noises.
Oh, they don't cue it. It's canned. They just play it the whole time. It's like from SmackDown, like 13.
Well, they had boo ones whenever it's like Retribution was like out and everything.
Oh, well, that means they finally timed it right. But yeah, no, the Uso Reigns match is probably the one I think I'm the most excited for, because it's like important to note that for the longest time, my favorite thing on pay-per-views were the Usos.
Oh, they like, had well, their, the their whole stretch with the New Day. Yeah. It was just
go back and watch the Usos versus the Wyatt family.
And you know, then that's the Usos match I forgot about.
Yeah. The Usos versus Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. And like, they have consistently been some of the best performers WWE has had for the last 8 years. And it's cool to see Jay get this opportunity. I think that they're probably, like, he's probably going to go out and have something to prove. So if they give him the proper time and he gets to do what he can do, that's going to be, like, a show-stealing performance.
For sure. Definitely. And that's kind of the nice thing, too, that nice maybe and also maybe hurts the tag team depending on what route they go is that, you know, you get that in there and then maybe he goes for the Intercontinental Championship down the road, or if he ever goes over to Raw, or you know, for the United States title, you know, he's got that mid-card title that would fit and work well with him.
That's true. I think with the Usos though is they have such like lightning in a bottle with those two where they need to go down as one of the best tag teams of all time, because they really are one of the best tag teams of all time. I don't think that they would be super cool with splitting them up as much of like Matt and Jeff, where you have two distinctly different performers.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying that they're mirrors of each other, but I mean, they're twins and they wrestle a lot alike.
Yeah, they got the same. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But yeah, no, that's the one I'm kind of like, I think it's really neat that they're doing this. So that's Clash of Champions. It'll be a placeholder pay-per-view, I'm sure, where nothing, like, there will be three or four exciting moments, one title change, and, like, two finishes that I'm going to be like, really, that's what you went with.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've got the big Survivor Series coming up in, like, late October, November sometime.
It's November. Right? They do it in November. It's the Thanksgiving one.
Yeah. So, you know, that will be, you know, this one and the one coming up. Is there one in October?
I mean, usually.
So, you know, that'll be Survivor Series is your next big one that you'll probably see some more significant things happen. But, you know, in the meantime, who knows? You know, we're definitely, it's definitely Survivor Series. You're getting a Retribution versus something or somebody. I would be very surprised if you don't. But it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, don't they usually do like the Raw versus SmackDown stuff at Survivor Series?
Yeah, so
they
November
have for the last couple years.
Yeah, November will be chewed up with a lot of brand supremacy angles, which, you know what, I will say last year they made that work so well. My favorite thing from last year is probably Pat McAfee on the best SmackDown ever, of just NXT coming in and wrecking shop. That was fun. Matt Riddle and Keith Lee just ruining Sami Zayn.
We had a lot of good moments and build up to Survivor Series, because the whole Becky Lynch, that was a build up to Survivor Series for Raw and SmackDown. You know, that kickstarted, I would say, that whole everything.
Yeah.
So you know, you have a lot of moments that could be make or break, but again, both those things happen in front of a live crowd. So yeah. Will that be different this year? Will it not? We'll find out.
Yeah, so that's Survivor, or not Survivor, that's Clash of Champions. This was something I wanted to talk about because since I had to host the show, I feel like I get a little bit of say of, I want to talk about something that made me happy. Because I had to talk about T-Bar and Mace and Slapjack. We don't usually cover AEW as much as I would like sometimes. There was a match last week that Meltzer gave a 5-star rating to.
Well-deserved.
A well-deserved 5-star rating. It was really weird. It was a tag team match. And it was a parking lot brawl.
And the Young Bucks weren't in it.
Yeah, and Uncle Dave didn't give it to the Young Bucks. It wasn't in Tokyo. I think I got all of the shitty internet wrestling fan jokes out of the way. It was the Best Friends versus the Inner Circle's Proud and Powerful. And did you actually watch this match?
Yes, I did. When you told me to watch it, I pulled it up right on my phone and watched it.
Wasn't it totally worth it?
You know, I'll be honest. At first, when it started, I thought, man, how did Meltzer give this 5 stars? Like, it was your typical, like, I don't know, parking lot brawl you've
seen. That was my same thing. I was like waiting for it. I was like, okay. Like, I know it's going to get better, but, like, when is it going to get better, right?
The turning point for me. So, like, you've seen parking lot brawls in WWE before. They do the whole, you know, we're going to go out in the parking lot where the truck is, and we're going to, you know, throw you against the truck. We might take a little barricade and throw you against the barricade, and we might, you know, slam you against the car. But, like, this one really used the environment to the best of the abilities. And I knew as soon as it was one of the Best Friends, I think, he took one of the members of Proud and Powerful, and they did the little spot where they fling him up into the truck bed tailgate.
Oh, the guillotine? It's called a guillotine.
Yeah, so I thought, okay, well, that's like new. I've not seen that before in a parking lot brawl. Like I said, they use the environment well. You know, they put them in the hood of the car, smashed them, did the senton off the top of the car, onto the hood of the car.
That was my favorite spot.
The spots that was one of my favorite spots, and it wasn't even a big thing, really, was when they took the sledgehammer and he just chucked that bad boy straight
through the windshield.
Yes, and just went straight through the windshield. I was like, because stuff like that I like, just because there's always that spot of error that if you either don't get out of the way soon enough or you throw it too soon, somebody's really getting hurt. So,
and also then, it's super important to note when you do stuff like that, like, yeah, obviously 27-year-old Dalton knows that he's not gonna hit Chuck T with that sledgehammer because that would murder him.
Exactly.
Like, but IRL. But when you're putting it in the context, like if you suspend your belief and being like, this is a fight, he is trying to kill him.
Yeah, and that's really what this looked like, was instead of a match, it was definitely a, like, it was a fight. Let's beat the crap out of each other. One of us are walking out, one of us are not. I think it was Trent. Did Trent take the spot where he went through, like, or got shattered against the shield, the windshield, and, like, his back was busted up, all, like, scratched up, cut up, like,
glass was embedded.
And you see, that spot you saw, like, all the little shards.
I don't know why, but it flashed me back to, I think it was Cactus Jack and Triple H when they had one of their matches where Triple H was just, like, bloodied from head to toe. And, like, you know, just seeing that little bit of edge in wrestling, you know. Now, you have a lot of spots in WWE that are super, like, okay, that should have never happened. Like, thinking of, I think it was Eddie Guerrero and JBL, that bloodbath they had, you know, that is too much, but like this spot here was just a little bit of an edge, just to give a little bit of color, like it, and it helped in the sense of this is a knockout drag down fight to where we hate you, you hate us, we're just gonna go and kill each other.
So I've seen this match about two or three times because JJ Walker of CCW fame told me on Friday, like, I think you would really like it, and Meltzer gave it 5 stars, which, all right, all jokes aside, I do not care about Meltzer star ratings.
I'm not a huge Meltzer fan myself, but
it is one person's opinion on a match, which is fine. Like, he's a very decorated journalist. I'm not saying he's garbage. I'm not like that, but I don't care about star ratings in general. It's a very subjective meaning of, like, rating. The thing that made me want to watch it the most was JJ telling me that, and then Mick Foley put it over twice on Twitter.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, and Mick Foley, if Mick Foley is saying, these guys went out and protected each other as much as you can in a match like this and still made a very believable, fun parking lot brawl. Like, that's how I knew it was a good match. But, so I looked at it as like, all right, I watched it as a fan and then I watched it as somebody that wrestles. I've never done anything like that, thank God. But I was like, all right, cool. What made this match amazing? Well, you have 4 good performers. Got it. All 4 of those are amazing. Like, all 4 of the guys in this match are amazing. There was no downtime in this match at all. They filled like a 10-pound bag with 15 pounds of stuff, and it wasn't forced. There wasn't a lot of waiting spots. Like, we didn't have anybody being like, oh, I wonder when he's going to jump on me. Like, it was very fluid. A lot of really innovative offense. Those super long, almost comedically long boards that they hit each other with that splintered.
That kept breaking.
Yeah, those were fun. I liked the door being held up by the car hood and the spear through that. That was cool. The ending was probably the best thing ever because they found a way to include Orange Cassidy in the at the same time most and least Orange Cassidy spot. Because that involved him trying to be in the trunk of a car for 10 minutes.
Yeah, and that's, you know, honestly, out of everything, that's the spot I like the least, I think. And I don't know if it's because I don't watch a lot of AEW lately. I know, you know, you had Orange Cassidy and Jericho with the Inner Circle, all that stuff. But, like, after back and forth of nearly killing each other, only to have Orange Cassidy pop out of a trunk and get involved, like, I'm sure there's something there that I'm not connecting because I don't watch.
It's such an Orange Cassidy thing. It just is.
Like, it just
seemed out of place to me.
if you knew more about, like, if you watched a lot of Orange Cassidy in the way that that character just operates as a whole, it's not that shocking.
Yeah. It popped me, like, really hard because I wasn't expecting it. But, like, when you think about it, you're like, well, obviously that would happen.
Yeah, because the second... So whenever I watched the first time, I noticed the trunk lights of that car flash.
I saw that, but I didn't know if it was, like, an alarm going off, but they just, like, edited it to, like, quiet it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, because the second it happened, I was like, that was weird. And then my second thought was Orange Cassidy. And then his legs pop out of the trunk, hits the Superman punch with the cane or the chain in his hand. And then, in fairness, Derek, that wasn't the finish. It was a in stereo stunt puller pile driver and the dude buster. So the pile driver was on the hood of a car, which F that. And then the dude buster in the truck bed of a giant truck, F that times two. And then it was the pin. And then I think this is what gave it 5 stars.
Was Sue picking them up?
Picking them up from the van? So do you know the story behind this, like, feud?
I know. Okay, so I remember listening to the commentary, and it was something one of the guys either said something about. Was it Trent's mom?
Yeah, Sue is Trent's mom.
Sue is Trent's mom. Actual mom. Yeah, like, that is shoot mom. That lady, that sweet little lady, was Trent Beretta's mom. So they were, like, having matches, really good matches, like, in the arena. And then in the middle of one show, Sue's van got trashed. Like, spray paint, dented, broken windows. And then the feud became personal. And to have Sue...
Trent loves his mom. Like,
Trent loves his mom.
Yeah.
Like the rest of the world does.
And Chucky loves Trent's mom.
So, are you paying attention to the Discord at all?
Yeah, I see some t-shirts here.
Okay, cool. So... for the people that didn't watch, they get in Sue's brand new van, beautiful white van.
Yep. And Trent gets in it covered in blood.
Yeah, messing up that beautiful interior, but it's fine.
Orange Cassidy gets shotgun.
Orange Cassidy got shotgun. They drive, like, Sue drives, like, 10 feet forward, and then you just see her hand go out and flip the bird. To which I said, I wish my mom was that cool.
Your mom is that cool.
I'm pretty sure we could get Debbie to do that at some point. Like, if me and Barbed Wire ever have a feud, expect that exact same match.
I like the shirts, specifically the Silver Sue shirt.
So there's three. So right now on ProWrestlingTees.com, Sue, Trent's mom, has three shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. All three of them are great. If you buy one, go ahead and also slide by prowrestlingtees.com/DaltonAnthony and pick yourself up a Best Assistant Ever shirt.
Also get Dalton a Sue shirt.
Yeah, you can also gift me a Sue shirt. Just order it, have it shipped to you, and then ship it to me. Extra large. But, she has three shirts, and I kind of want, like, all three of them.
Nobody messes with her Greggy.
Yeah, and it was a really good... parking lot brawl. Like, that was the best parking lot brawl that's ever happened. I don't care what they WWE calls it, Iron Circle, whatever they want to call it. This was the best one, and it was by a landslide. And for, like, even somebody, like, Sadie doesn't like blood in wrestling.
Mm-mm.
But, like, she was able to get through it because it was such a good match, and it was believable blood. Like, nobody gigged.
Well, yeah, and it was best friends, and I loved them.
Yeah. And I just wanted to spotlight a match that brought me a lot of joy this week and brought two of my lovely girlfriend and my best friend, I'm not going to tell you who's who, so much joy as well.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Derek doesn't like it when I put labels on him. Yeah. So.
Wow.
No labels here.
So that's going to wrap it up. We hit an hour three. This is the shortest PWU in 2 years. We did it, team.
We can make it go longer.
No, we're good. We're good.
Oh, okay.
Sadie and I got work in the morning. We got some Office to watch. I got some ice cream in the fridge that I need to, like, try to eat.
Yeah.
So I think we're good. Thanks, Koner Cup in Perryville, Missouri.
Stream Dynamite by BTS.
Yeah. If you're playing Fortnite Friday night, they're doing a BTS thing. I'm kind of excited about that.
What?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that off air.
I'm so excited, dude.
I don't even like Fortnite.
Yeah, I don't. So, we're doing PZ85AD/PZ85 Legendary Group Chat of Happiness. tomorrow. I may be on that show. That's going to be kind of a revolving cast of characters. And I mean every word of that last sentence. I kind of have a hint on what the theme or topic's going to be tomorrow, and I'm pretty excited. All I'm saying is if Tanner doesn't call Mr. Bucket, I'm going to be mad. And we'll be back on Tuesday with PZ85 Plays. There may be a Monday show in there. I don't know. It just depends. We may be back next week as us three. It may be me and Asa. It may be anybody. I know I'll be there. Thank you for listening. If you made it through this, check out Podzilla 1985 on literally any platform. Check our Reddit out. I'm never on there, but
Fun. You need to get in on that Podzilla 1985 lounge on Reddit.
Do you remember when we made that supercard Reddit? We haven't touched it since.
That floundered real fast.
But check us out on Reddit. If you haven't liked and subscribed us on iTunes yet, do that. That really helps us out in the algorithm getting noticed. The more eyes you get that get put on this, the more like we can do cool stuff. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/podzilla1985. Throw us a buck your way. You know what? Someday I'm going to do a special podcast just for the patrons. And somewhere Asa, Jesse, and Shannon just got really mad that I said I'm going to lock content behind a pay window. But they deserve it. Our four patrons.
Just a dollar.
Just a dollar.
It's Garrick, one of them.
And so am I. Lane and Ciro are pretty cool. Ciro just had a birthday. Love Ciro. He makes me laugh on the Facebooks.
2 out of 4 ain't bad.
Yeah, Cody was one at one point. Josh from Press Start to Join's awesome. I'll give them a plug ski really quick. See, Ace is really good at this, and I'm not. I did the Pro Wrestling Tee store. Wear a mask. Black Lives Matter. And if you have a problem with any of the last two things I said, do me a favor, unsubscribe, don't leave a comment, and go fuck yourself.
And
have a great night.
And stream Dynamite by BTS.
And stream Dynamite by BTS. Love you.